Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal, but it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHOPE. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHOPE, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Yeah, well, I think every time we lace up our skates, we have an opportunity to get better individually and as a group. Every time we have an opportunity to lace up our skates and play a hockey game, we get an opportunity to win it. And that's been our mindset all road trip. We've been in every game, arguably could have won all of them. But this is where we're at right now. This is the result we're getting. I think we're doing some good things. We're competing. Our guys are digging in there. So I got to give them credit. Just got to get over the top and, you know, find a way to find 2 points.
Good morning, everyone. What's happening? The San Jose Sharks lost their eighth in a row last night. Yet another game with shocking consistency, I might add. Yet another game where the San Jose Sharks had a 2-1 lead or any lead of whatsoever heading into the third period, and they were not able to hold on. And the relative consistency with which they are doing this is pretty shocking. I mean, that's the thing, is they give themselves a chance in the overwhelming majority of games. They're giving themselves a chance, and I don't know if that's going to happen in the next three games against Toronto, against Buffalo, and against Colorado. There's some good teams over that stretch, but the shocking consistency in which the Sharks give themselves a chance only to fall short is just, it's amazing. It's staggering. It is so consistent. I mean, you just go and look back at, you know, since the end of January when they got blown out by Seattle, since that point, it was a 4-3 loss to Montreal, a 2-1 overtime loss to Vancouver, the 8-3 loss to Dallas, and then you have a 3-2 loss to Calgary, a 2-1 overtime loss to Winnipeg, a 4-3 overtime loss to Montreal, and then yesterday you have a 4-3 game late in which the Sharks had another lead entering the third period, only to concede three straight. Two in the first 4 minutes of the third period, and the two goals that they first gave up were, what, 90-ish seconds apart? I mean, that just can't happen. The Sharks have to be able to build upon leads. They have to be able to give themselves more. And, you know, you go back to that first period of which the Sharks were by far the better team all throughout the first period, except for the most critical moment when they were on the power play. I mean, that might be the most amazing part about all of this, is that when the game was starting, the Sharks were by far the better team, except for the one moment in which they had their best opportunity. They give up a shorthanded goal. I mean, that is just, you shake your head. How can that be the moment of that period in which they have their faltering? How can that be the moment where they're not able to take advantage and end up conceding a goal? Whereas the rest of the game, the rest of the first period, they were pretty darn good. I mean, that is just, It's amazing. Again, I keep on being just absolutely flabbergasted by some of the things the Sharks are doing right now. The other aspect of this is that they outscore Ottawa on power play goals 3-1, right? Like, they've got three power play goals in the game, but then you add on that shorthanded one, and it's staggering. Those are the things that you have to rectify when you look forward to the future. And I have to imagine that the Sharks are at a loss right now when they go to the dressing room after these games, when they go to the film room after these games. They see the mistakes. There's no surprise in that. They see the mistakes that they're making, but at the same time, you know, they're giving themselves a chance. A team, in theory, should be able to make mistakes over the course of the game, yet still be able to win. And that's clearly not where the Sharks are right now, because I've watched other teams, the last couple of years, they'll go out there and they'll make mistakes, but they recover from them. They rebound from them. They've got the ability to give themselves a chance as they go forward in the game. But the Sharks, it seems like the mistakes just pile up, and they don't have enough talent. They don't have enough ability. They don't have enough of, you could even say, the mentality to withstand it. I tend to think that overall their mentality is pretty good. I understand why people could have the argument just because the weight of the season is upon them, right? Like, I think this is something that we're seeing with San Jose. And I talked to Brian Boyle of NHL Network about this, and you're going to hear from him a little bit later today. But, you know, he talked about losing being a mentality or habitual, and it's the same as winning. And the Sharks right now, I think that unless they are just absolutely cruising, they don't have the mentality that they are going to win, or they don't have the habits in place that's going to lead them to a win. They unfortunately have the mindset that they are going to, you know, maybe hold on and maybe it'll go the other way. And that's something they've got to learn. And you would hope that for the guys that are here for the future, that they just get so sick of it, that they just get so tired of it, that they're so darn ticked off with the losing, that eventually they make those changes. Because I do think that there's one of two ways that any rebuild can go. Either losing defines the culture, or it becomes something that everyone hates so much that they all collectively put their minds together and turn the page on it and become a better team. Because we've talked multiple times this year about how you don't want to get into one of those long-term rebuild situations where losing seems to define the franchise, where losing seems to define, you know, the overall culture, where you just get caught up in that endless rebuild where you're losing and you're losing and you're losing, and it's a road to nowhere except more high draft picks that never truly turn into anything. And I'm not saying that's where the Sharks are right now. The way that this year has gone has been relatively, I won't say to plan, but it's not like it should be that quote unquote surprising. You trade away your best netminder in December. That's going to lower the talent overall on your team. You trade away Mikhail Granlund. You know, that's not going to help things. You trade away one of your best D-men in Cody Ceci. That's not going to help things. And there could be more trades before the deadline upcoming. That is, again, not going to help things. But I think that one of the reasons you get simultaneously hopeful and frustrated is that the Sharks continue to give themselves a chance. The Sharks continue to give themselves an opportunity to win in these games, but they don't win. They fall short. And right now, that's just something that I'm sure is maddening, that the entirety of the team is trying to figure out what is going on here. How are we not able to get these wins? How are we not able to find a way to walk away with 2 points when all is said and done? And I don't have the answers right now. I think that they have got to learn the habits and the, you know, the little check marks that go along the way to being a consistently winning team. But I also think that that comes with time. And I also think that comes with overall talent levels being greater and young players being more experienced. I mean, I've talked about it up to this point many, many times, but you know what you're taking away right now is that Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and William Eklund and Shakir Mukmadulin look like players for the future, that Colin Graf right now is getting better and better every game. And we've seen Macklin Celebrini playing at such a high level all year long, but now you're watching Will Smith get better and better with every game, and you're watching Colin Graf get better and better. And those are the signs that you need to see for the future. And I think that when you do have this year of experience under the belt of those players as we head into next year, the results will be better. And I know it's hard to say when you're looking at an 8-game losing streak and, you know, your last win was in a, you know, over a calendar month ago. It came on, I believe, January 27th against the Pens. It's hard to say that the team is improving. But again, I will point back to the previous season in which they were getting blown out. I know it's low-hanging fruit. Nobody wants to hear that, but the Sharks are giving themselves a chance in every single game. I will take that, as painful it is right now for watching them get, you know, beat in different ways in games in which they have the lead. I will take the competitive losses over the blowout losses any day of the week. That game against Dallas, you know, most recently before the All-Star break, that was no fun. Or before the Four Nations break, that was no fun. The game that they had against Seattle at the end of January, that was no fun. The game against Winnipeg at the start of the year, that was no fun. And while competitive losses might be more relatively frustrating in the moment, again, you would hope that the frustration levels are building with the team in a different way, that the demoralizing blowouts are building the team for the future. Demoralizing blowouts, you just want to turn the page on. I think that these close and tight losses, they fester. They stir around in your head. They drive you a bit mental. Not that I want these guys to be too overwhelmed by the entirety of the season, but you would hope they get to a point where they just feel like they've got to make changes. They've got to do it that much better. They've got to give themselves that much more of a chance to become a better team in the near future and to be able to build from it. They might not be able to do so right now, but you would hope that when they do, you know, gather again in the preseason for training camp next year, that they're going to be of the mindset of, you know, we're changing things. This is going to be where we start to make the climb. And I had hoped that this year would be the start of that, And I think that we saw a great sign of that in the month of November where they started finding their way forward. But that was a long time ago. They had more talent on the team. They had Mackenzie Blackwood. They had Mikhail Granlund. They had Cody Ceci. That was a different time in San Jose Sharks history as we look at the entirety of this season. Right now, they are trying to survive. They are trying to get their way through the finish. They have 21 games remaining. It is a, you know, it's a grind to the finish from here on out. But you look at the stats from last night's game, which again is not the be-all, tell-all. Will Smith, a goal and an assist, 2 points. Macklin Celebrini, 2 assists, 2 points. Tyler Toffoli, a goal. Alex Wenberg, an assist. Tim Liljegren, a goal. Klim Kostin, an assist. Will Eklund, an assist. If you look at guys that are most definitely part of the San Jose Sharks' long-term future, Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, William Eklund, all showing up in that scoreline. I know Tyler Toffoli is here for a few years, but he's not as young as those guys, and hopefully he'll be part of the climb going forward, and I love his veteran presence as we look to the future. But those are players that are adding to what the Sharks are trying to do right now and in the future. Fabian Zetterlund, he did not have any points, but I did not have a problem with any of his game. I did not have any points with, or problems with Colin Graf's game last night. I thought he was very good. I thought Jack Thompson made some nice defensive plays throughout the game as well, even if he was a minus one when all was said and done. But, you know, these are players that are learning in real time about how they can be part of the San Jose Sharks' future. The other side of that, of course, is that you look at Will Smith, minus two, Celebrini, minus three, Tyler Toffoli, minus three, William Eklund, minus three, Jake Walman, minus two. You know, those are the things that you look at where maybe you're a little bit more disheartened by. But I also think plus minus is not the be-all end-all that some people want it to be. It is a metric. It is not the only metric, but it's something that those guys can at least use as motivation for the future. Speaking of the future, because we do that a lot here, how about Will Smith with yet another fine performance?
They quickly regroup, and now Alex will rim it hard to the far side, out of the reach of the goaltender Omar. Norris trying to kill it on the boards, and he's got to skate over it. It kicks out. Celebrini waits, slides the pass, and Will Smith scores! 4-3! Sharks still alive in this game.
For Will Smith, that was his 10th goal of the season. Also, William Eklund notched his 31st assist of the season. That's putting him in the team lead. Macklin Celebrini got his second assist of the night. It's the third time this year both Smith and Celebrini have recorded multi-point efforts in the same game. That's per Sharks PR, and that's a sign of the future. And since January 1st, Will Smith leads all NHL rookie forwards with 11 assists. Macklin Celebrini is now tied for the rookie forward lead in points over that same span. And I believe that was before the second point that Celebrini earned. So the fact of the matter is, as we look to the future, the guys of the future are performing. That's the most important thing to me. Who is getting it done for San Jose? It is your young players. It's your William Eklunds. It's your Will Smiths. It's your Macklin Celebrinis. Those are the guys that you need to see performances from for the future. Same thing with Colin Graf. You know, obviously he has not been as, he's not played as many games this year at the NHL level as Smith and Celebrini, but he is getting better and better, and I really like what I see out of him. I think that the future, again, continues to be the intriguing aspect of San Jose. Surviving the here and now is where the team is. But again, the signs that I need to see, whether it's the Will Smith, whether it is the Macklin Celebrini, whether it is the William Eklund, whether it is the Colin Graf, those players improving in real time, that's what I need to see. That's what we all need to watch happen for the future. And I think that as we continue to watch that process occur in real time in front of us, it's going to lead to better performances down the road. And I know it's hard to be patient. I'm right there with you. I enjoy talking about wins much more than losing streaks. And over the last couple of years, there have been far too many losing streaks. But the idea is that when you get through all these downtimes, you're going to have so much young talent. You're going to have so much draft capital. You're going to be a destination where players want to go to, that this will make the Sharks the team of the future. And, you know, we see that from around the league. Guys are noticing the San Jose Sharks. They're ranked now as the number one prospect system or the farm system, however you want to, you know, regard it. They are seen as a team of the future. And people are saying, you know, in a couple of years, the San Jose Sharks are going to be absolutely lethal. And I 100% believe that to be true. They are going to be lethal. They are going to be a very dangerous team. We just have to be patient to get there. Wanted to get into some post-game sound, and then we are going to hear from Brian Boyle who I spoke with the other day, just talking about the Sharks' struggles and rebuild overall. But let's hear some of the things that head coach Ryan Warsowski had to say after last night's game.
Yeah, I liked our start. Did some good things. Obviously, a couple of bounces. Didn't like that line change that we have. We give up an easy goal. You know, the bounces are going to happen, the 5-on-3. Again, I liked our start. We did some good things. But the line change goal, unacceptable.
Mistakes will do you in. We've seen it time and time again, but it's got to be something that the Sharks learn from and improve upon. And that's got to be the only takeaway from this. I think Ryan Warsowski is doing a good job of balancing the good with the bad. Obviously, walking away with the loss when all is said and done makes it hard for what the Sharks are trying to do. But you also have to look at this and say, okay, are the Sharks overall a better team than they were at the start of the season? The answer is yes, even with the loss of talent. Are the young players developing? Yes. Are they learning lessons that will hopefully make them a better team in the future? Well, learning is painful, and you would hope they are learning these lessons. More for Warzone.
Yeah, well, we're a young team, right? We kind of knew it was going to come, and you know, I think they're a team that's playing for their, you know, their playoff lives, and we knew there was going to be some desperation from that side of it. But again, some things that we can definitely do better.
And I do think it's important to note that the Sharks are not playing for anything right now beyond the nebulous idea of the future, whereas Ottawa is most definitely playing for their playoff lives. Warzo brought it up. He didn't do so by accident because that is part of the narrative. Although the Sharks have not been mathematically eliminated, we all know the writing is on the wall and that they are going to be, you know, just playing out the rest of this year. I'm not saying that to be, you know, mean or anything like that or overly blunt. It's the stark reality. Now, one of the things that we look overall last night is that Chicago did win a game, so they are now 4 points in front of where San Jose is right now. They're 18-35-7. The Sharks are 15-37-9, 39 points for San Jose, 43 points for Chicago. And then you also look at, you know, the worst teams in the East. The Buffalo Sabres have 53 points, so they are, you know, way out in space compared to where San Jose is. Warzo was also asked about his team and how they ignore the outside noise, maybe some negativity being cast on them as they've lost 14 out of 15 and only have 4 wins since the new year.
Oh, ignore the noise. Don't worry about what the outside people think. And, you know, again, we have a chance to get better every time. Tomorrow's a new day. The sun's going to come up. No one died tonight. We move forward. That's life. This is a big lesson for myself, for our coaching staff, our players. In life, you're going to get kicked with some adversity. And how do you bounce back from that? Are you going to shy away? Are you going to get up and keep swinging? And we're going to keep swinging.
To Warzo's credit and all the players on the team, as well as the entirety of the coaching staff, the Sharks do keep swinging. They do keep on giving themselves a chance, which tells you that there is a level of resiliency there that hopefully in the future will give them the opportunity to win more and more games. It's got to be part of what they have for the future, remembering these difficult times in the here and now and applying it to when they are more talented, more experienced, having more depth, and more capable of winning these close games. Mario Ferraro spoke to that after the game.
No, I haven't. You know, that's the difference between, you know, I don't want to bring up last year, but, you know, obviously last year was a struggle as well. But, you know, we're in games right now and, you know, we're right there, you know, but that the small margin for error, it's this big, right? And we're just, you know, yeah, we're not finding a way to stay disciplined enough or, you know, to play a full 60 minute or whatever it is to pull out those wins. I think that's just a little bit of the immaturity in our game as a whole, as a team. You know, it's something we got to build on. But yeah, I like the way we have competed. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at the stat sheet, it's just, you know, it's not good enough. So, but I feel like our time is coming. We can't let off the gas.
And I don't think they are letting off the gas again. To the point I made previously, they are continuing to give themselves a chance. You might just be looking at the stark reality that the collective unit as a team is not there yet to be able to win, you know, the vast majority of these quote-unquote close games, of which last night was another. A one-goal game until an empty netter, even if the Sharks had to fight their way back into it after giving up 3 unanswered to go from 2-1 down 4-2. They gave themselves a chance. It was 4-3, and then you have that empty netter that makes it 5-3. It was still a one-goal game late, which is what you want to have from the team, but this is just another one of those quote-unquote close losses that hopefully in a year's time the Sharks will be able to rectify and be on the other side to where they're at least giving themselves a chance at a playoff spot. I don't again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I feel like if they can turn the corner on these close games and win even 50% of them, they'll be in the picture. All right, wanted to get to my chat with Brian Boyle of NHL Network. I asked him about all the close losses that the Sharks have been a part of, and this was his answer.
Talent's a tough one because there's a ton of talent in San Jose. It's young talent. But there's, you know, when you're not a completed product as a player or as a team, it's difficult. So I'll go back to the beginning, like losing close games, like winning and losing, both are habits, I think. Mm-hmm. And when you win a lot, especially in different ways, I've been fortunate enough to be on good teams, different guys contribute. There's a feeling or a, you know, sort of a stubbornness that you're going to continue to play the way that is gives you the best chance for success on these good teams. Mm-hmm. And eventually something's going to break in your favor, and it usually does, whether it's a big save and you go down and get a chance and score, or, you know, your special teams come through with a big kill or a big power play goal. These things are their habits because of the, you know, 50 or 55 minutes in the game time that you're playing is so disciplined, and you don't really, you know, veer off of the path that makes you great. I think that's, and that's as a team. So that's, mm-hmm. when you see teardowns and rebuilds, I think that's the hardest part to learn, I guess, as a team. It's probably the hardest part to coach. It's to get through to guys because it's hard to quantify. It's hard to make it like a tangible thing. We need this. It's a bunch of little other things that make that product happen. And when you have a lot of talented players that have had success at every step of the way, but now are in a different league, you see the flashes of it. You see Max Celebrini, who I think is going to be a star in the league for a very long time. You see kind of where he's deficient, right? So taking on a rush in overtime, for example, last night, he's leaning too far forward and he takes the bait. Like these things, he's now going to learn that because it happened at the Bell Center in front of a lot of people. And it was, you know, that's a great lesson for him because the Sharks aren't competing for the Stanley Cup this year. And he seems like the character in him seems like a guy that's going to learn from that and make it better so it doesn't happen again. Will Smith's another highly talented individual who left BC after only 1 year because, I mean, look what he did at BC, right? But watching him last year, I thought it was going to be difficult for him at the start, because I know what the NHL is all about. It's just a different animal. So, you know, long-winded, you look at a team like Detroit, or you look at a team who actually I think has good leadership and has, but and then you look at a team like Buffalo, they've moved on from some of the older guys. I think guys that have done it and would commit to a multi-year deal in places like that, they can really bring along the younger guys, not just in the room or out to dinner or how to be a pro, but like actually what they do every day, how consistent they are. That's what takes these teams up another level. It's so much harder when you have to start from scratch to build something than it is when you can retool a little bit.
And I also asked him about the Sharks rebuild and the way it's been constructed by Mike Greer.
Yeah. And I think if you look out east to like a team like Washington, Washington has John Carlson and Alex Ovechkin, right? And they lucked into, you know, Dylan Strome, who wasn't qualified in Chicago. Like, that's okay. And Tom Wilson, no one has a Tom Wilson. They brought up their American League, or they signed Spencer Carberry, who's in the American League as a coach for a while. And they brought up guys through their Hershey program that was dominant in the AHL for a long time. You have McMichael. You got Protas now. There's a lot of, you know, homegrown talent there, I guess. And so they didn't have to bottom out quite as much. Mm-hmm. Last year, they got into the playoffs. It was kind of a mirage, but they got in. And now look at them. Like, that was a patient approach that Brian McClellan did in Washington with, you know, he kept what he had that was a real big asset that was going to sell tickets, that was going to win him some games, and they grew the rest of it in the minors, and they brought in some pieces here and there. Mike Greer's doing a similar thing. He just doesn't have an Alex Ovechkin. He doesn't have a John Carlson or a Tom Wilson. So it's like, yeah, the bottom's a little bit lower for San Jose, but it's the same approach, right? And if your American League team's doing really big things, like, that's pro hockey. It's not easy. No. And so now you have these young players that are tasting success in pro hockey, learning how to play the right way, because you can't win if you don't. And then you can bring them up, and they're kind of more, they're more cooked, they're more polished, they're ready to jump into a, you know, a bigger and hotter fire, so to speak, that, you know, when it gets hard, they have a foundation they can look at and say, all right, this is my game. I'm going to try and simplify for a minute, and then I'll expand from there. That's, it's a really great approach, because otherwise rookies get overwhelmed. People don't know where they fit, where they stand. These guys are learning roles in that level, and then they're going to be brought up accordingly.
I also asked him about all the young talent that's up there in the NHL and the way that the paradigm has shifted about getting these guys out there and on the ice and the incredible skill level. And he had some interesting insights on this.
It is. And I coach squirt minors now, right? They're nine. Some of them turn 10. They're doing the Michigan in practice, like in stride. And they're doing things with their hands, and they're doing different things that are really, really impressive. Unfortunately, they don't understand sometimes. I'm not talking about the nine-year-olds now. Like they're nine, whatever. I'm not really judging them. We're trying to teach them the importance of the blue lines, how getting it out is important, getting it in is important. We're trying to teach them the neutral zone. If you can get through there the best and you can clog it up the best, you're going to win most games. We're teaching them D-zone. We're teaching them different spacing things that every youth team, I think, probably teaches, but we have an emphasis on it. Straight line hockey, we call it a lot. That's going away a lot. And I watched the Beanpot final. I've watched the last few cup finals very closely because I was working them. And I watched the Four Nations final. And those are just a few examples of straight line hockey winning every time. And when you get east-west and when you get a little bit too high skill, it against really good teams and good structure and defense, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how good you are. And these are the best players in the world trying things that they couldn't figure out. And it's a breakdown. It's who's the most disciplined in their D zone. You know, the goal that McDavid scored, McDavid played a game where he looked more human than I've ever seen him in the final, Canada US. And he's the hero because he is that guy. He's the guy that's, if it's on his stick and he has a chance, he's going to score. But there was a breakdown, and that's how long it took the Canadians to figure it out. There's a quick breakdown. There's my guy, Bing. It's in the net, game over. So in hockey, or in the Beanpot, BC's playing BU. BC's out shooting BU 15-2. They're having their way with them. They're going in straight lines, and then they start getting fancy with it. They want to make plays. They want to make it look pretty. There's a turnover because of it. It's 1-1. BU has the momentum. They're still just going in straight lines, and BU wins that game because of discipline. There's a shot discrepancy, but they win the game. They're the ones holding the jug at the end of the game. So same thing in the cup finals. Who can get to the middle of the ice? Who can keep you out of the middle of the ice? All that matters until there's a breakdown. And that's why the skill is important. I just think the emphasis on skill, which, you know, you need to have, you need to be able to skate, you need to have some hands. But it's been impressive to watch. And the guys that can do it at the NHL level are incredibly impressive. I just wonder, when the game switches and the ice shrinks, are they ready for it?
And we talked about the difficulty of the season right now when you're in the end of the dog days, and maybe you're in a situation like San Jose where you're not fighting for a place in the playoffs.
Yeah, you are. It is difficult. So far, I was lucky enough, the last 11 years I played, we were in a playoff team. So it was more, you know, I would take the break and lift a lot of weight and try and build the engine back up and do what I could to be ready. I'd do more bike rides on off days because you're really trying to peak at the start of the playoffs if you can. And that's not to say you don't grind and play through things all year long, because you do. You just get, there's a, just another, it's like a supplement that you take that you're like excited. You have more energy because the playoffs are coming. For a team that's not going to make the playoffs, usually it's younger. That was me when I was younger, playing in LA or whatever. And it was like, here's your chance to audition. Like, camp's next year, but it's not last year, because now we're going to have new guys too. We're going to try to improve this team. So you have to go earn your spot again next year. Here's your audition. You get a head start on whoever we don't have, because I'm watching you right now. So you better get excited. So you better have a little jump in your step and get, regardless if you're tired or you're banged up, because they all are, maybe a little less than, you know, 15 years ago. It's a little bit of a different game, but it is a faster game. So you could have some soft tissue stuff you're dealing with. There's a lot that goes into it. But that, again, is another lesson that these young players can learn. Like, every game in this league is a privilege. No matter where you are, no matter what your contract says, it could be your last. So you better get excited for the end of the year. And then when it ends, you have a long summer to train and get ready for next year. And we're not going to accept the same result as last year. If I'm a San Jose Shark, I'm not going to accept the same result as last year. So let's start building towards next year right now.
Great stuff from Brian Boyle. We're out of time. Next up for San Jose, Monday, 4:30 at Toronto. Pregame, 4 o'clock. Go time, 4:30, right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.